Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley taking you through all 32 teams heading into the 2015 NFL Draft. And if you're catching up, well, we're up to the Arizona Cardinals in this podcast. But if you haven't caught up yet, we've already done the Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Colts, Broncos, and this week the Cowboys, Ravens, and Panthers. The rest of the week we'll also have the Lions, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Bills. So moving right along here with these franchise-focused podcasts, looking at what teams have done in the offseason, who have they brought in, who have they lost, what are the fantasy implications, what may they do in the draft. And we're also taking your questions as well, and you'll hear a couple of those answered. You can use the hashtag franchise-focus and tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, and we'll be answering your questions throughout these podcasts. We've done so already. As I said, we'll have more in this podcast and future podcasts as well, but we don't have to look too far into the future anymore for the Major League Baseball season, because that is underway, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season really gets underway. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They are the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. The entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. Make a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And Joe, today, I know as a Met fan, my team's not playing on day two of the full schedule. It kind of stinks, but I'd have a reason to still care about baseball today because I could play FanDuel.
It's the worst thing in the world. That off day after opening day, you don't feel like baseball almost really gets started until the second week of the season. But if you can play FanDuel today and have something to root for, that's a great way to get over that second day blues. And if you don't feel like the baseball season's underway, get into FanDuel, and I guarantee you will.
Eric Haffer from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we get into the Arizona Cardinals here, guys, this is a team that really had, I think, the worst luck of any of the best teams in football last year. And in fact, for I guess you'd say what, at least half the season, maybe two-thirds of the season, they looked like a very legitimate Super Bowl contender, and then they had just that bad luck really creep up on them. We know Andre Ellington got banged up early in the season, tried to play through those foot and ankle issues, and eventually was on the IR with those issues, had the hernia issue as well. But the big deal for the Arizona Cardinals was Carson Palmer going down with that torn ACL late in the season, and it really pretty much ended the Cardinals' season. I know they went 11-5, but they fell out of the division lead. They went into the playoffs with Ryan Lindley as their quarterback. Don't forget, Drew Stanton also got hurt last year. So they were stuck, you know, with Logan Thomas and ended up going with Ryan Lindley in the playoffs. And they got beat by a Panther team that didn't even go 500 last year. Four different quarterbacks played for the Cardinals last year. They still won 11 games. A great job by Bruce Arians. And the question is, what could have been for the Arizona Cardinals?
You can make the argument that this is the worst playoff team in NFL history. And I know the injuries happened, but the team they put on the field.
Yeah. All because of one position.
The team they put on the field was just in no way competitive. And that team would have been massacred by some of the better teams in the playoffs. And that Carolina-Arizona game was just so difficult to watch. But yeah, as you said, great job by Bruce Arians, but I think that means the Arizona Cardinals have a lot of questions here. What's Carson Palmer's future?
Don't forget, he had that nerve issue in his arm early in the year. He only played six games for an 11-win team last year.
One of those things, at the time that was happening, it was one of those things where, yeah, he could wake up tomorrow and be fine, or it could never get better, and he might never throw a football again. Now, of course, he did get better, but is that something that could possibly creep up again? There's a lot of questions surrounding Carson Palmer. And if Carson Palmer isn't playing at a medium-high level, this is a team that's going to struggle in this division.
And you don't know where he's going to be.
Exactly.
You don't know if we're going to have him in 2015.
He's come off a second major ACL injury. Is he going to be ready for training camp? Is he going to be ready for opening day? I mean,
and if not,
it's no guarantee that he's ready.
Where are they going here? Because here's, I think this is a real telling stat. They averaged 261 passing yards under Palmer. 182.8 under Stanton. Ugh. I mean, and that's just through Stanton. It got worse, obviously, with Ryan Lindley. And you know what, Bruce Arians, trust him. He could throw the ball downfield. He's not the same player he was in Cincinnati before the injuries there. But Carson Palmer is still a very solid quarterback. And on this team, the way it is structured, he's exactly what they need. You know, the issues that, you know, they've had at the quarterback position in previous seasons since Kurt Warner retired, Palmer had kind of put a Band-Aid on that for them. But now, he's 35. It's a second ACL. The arm issue, hopefully it doesn't pop up again. But he's exactly what they needed. And now we don't know if he's going to be ready. And what do they do in the future? Because as we'll get into the kind of their talk about the draft, this seems like a team that, you know, would love to be able to get somebody in the draft. But once again, it's not that deep of a group at all. And I don't think there is the quarterback of the future for the Cardinals in this draft.
The thing about Carson Palmer is not a whole lot of talk about him this offseason. Most of the talk about injured quarterbacks has been Sam Bradford, who's also coming off a second ACL tear. Sam Bradford's 8 years younger than Carson Palmer. Like, this is a serious issue. Palmer just might never even be the same player. And I think you can argue, as solid as Palmer was this year, and I think solid's the right word.
Well, he needed to be.
He was never the same guy after the first ACL tear. For the chemo.
But that's the thing. But he fits in this. He doesn't have to be the man on this on a team like this that has a very good defense for the most part. Now, they wanted more out of Ellington, but you know, I think what they had, I think everything fit here. The puzzle pieces all fit for this team. And they were going the right direction, clearly. They looked like one of the most balanced teams from top to bottom, offense, defense, running the ball, throwing the ball. They did everything you'd want to do at an above-average level for the most part. And they still won 11 games with Carson Palmer playing just six. So they had something going right here, but you can't take a guy like that away and then not even have your number two quarterback there and have to go to Ryan Lindley. So at 11 wins here, there's still a lot of question marks for the Cardinals heading into 2015.
But go ahead, Tom.
I think they're kind of tied to Logan. They want to develop this kid. I don't see them going after a quarterback in the draft, but he's still a major project. He might be another year away from just contributing.
But I agree with you. Why would they draft a quarterback this year? Because basically every guy in this draft, not named Winston or Mariota, is a Logan Thomas type. Or what are you going to do? Go draft Brandon Bridge, who is kind of the same type of guy, despite playing at South Alabama instead of Virginia Tech? And look, if you're putting odds on Logan Thomas making it in this league, I think it's low. Because very rarely, we discuss this a lot, has a guy who flat out stunk in college made it in the pros. He's got the physical skill set, Tom, but he just seems to be a maybe even a better version of some of the other quarterbacks in this draft class. And the only way I can see them completely moving on from him is if Bruce Arians got a look at him in practice and said, there's no way this kid's going to make it.
They got that look. They were initially going to go with him late in the season in a game, and then they saw him in practice for one day, and they're like, okay, Ryan Lindley, you're in.
They picked Ryan Lindley over him.
Yeah.
Ryan Lindley,
that tells you a lot.
Might be, and I'm not exaggerating here, might be the worst quarterback who's gotten semi-significant game time that I've seen in the last 5 years. This guy's terrible.
I mean, he was the number three quarterback. I mean, you shouldn't have high expectations for him at all. I don't think anybody would, but there are a lot of issues here for the Cardinals, so that's a problem for them heading into 2015. What do they do at quarterback, not only for this year, but going forward? And that answer I don't think is out there right now. Now, the other problem that they had was Andre Ellington, and there was issues, there was concerns about his size, 5'9", not even 200 pounds. There was concerns about that in 2013, And he seemed to kind of push those away. Everybody was kind of cool with it. Already did a good enough job. They didn't give him a lot of touches. So coming into 2014, he was going to be their guy. But he had that weird foot ankle issue, but he was able to play through it. Remember, when that happened in the preseason, the thought was he could be out 6 weeks. And he played through it, which was kind of a surprise. And he played well even with that injury. But you could see.
I don't know about the well part. Yeah.
But I mean, he was putting
he played through it.
He's putting up fantasy numbers.
He didn't look like the
he
same guy.
He was a better fantasy back than NFL. Yeah.
Well, that's just good. That's what we're looking for, though, isn't it?
The volume.
We want the numbers.
3.3 yards.
But that started to tail off towards the end, and he was still catching the football. Let's not ignore that. He had 46 catches for 395 yards in 12 games. So for fantasy, he was playing well when you consider the injuries, and I think we all lowered expectations as soon as that injury happened. And I think he exceeded those expectations when you were hearing 4 weeks, 6 weeks. He played through it, and then at the end of the season, it just got worse and worse here for him because he had the hernia. That was a problem as well, and that's what landed him on the IR. Now, he was able to avoid the surgery on the foot, and Bruce Arians, as of mid-February, was saying, oh, he's still the focal point of the offense. But then, you know, they're talking that they want him to get bigger and stronger, which is not a surprise at his size. And Bruce Arians has since said in the last week or two that he would like to have a bigger back. And I don't think that's a surprise at all.
Well, that's because he had the exact opposite approach going into last season. He was saying 25 to 30 touches for this
guy. We were
guy.
Hearing that.
And like, we like to hear that, but we were like, oh, my God, is he going to make it through the season? And he didn't make it through the season. So, of course, Bruce Arians, he has to change his approach this year. I mean, that was not the right approach with his backfield.
Ellington averaged 4 more yards per carry in 3 appearances last year. He averaged under 3 yards per carry in 5 appearances. Look, hurt or not, the guy just wasn't very good. And
he didn't have the explosiveness. It wasn't what we saw from his rookie year.
It's interesting right now, if you're going to MFL 10 data, which I think is the most reliable ADP data we have at this early stage, because these are people playing for stakes, essentially. These are the hardcore fantasy players. Andre Ellington's the number 22 running back being taken off the board, right after Gio Bernard, after Justin Forsett at 18, Latavius Murray at 19, Todd Gurley at 20. Gurley obviously doesn't have an NFL team. Right ahead of Jonathan Stewart. I still think that feels a little rich to me.
I want to note this on Ellington, though. Because reality, maybe he wasn't great. But through the 13 weeks where he played, he was the number 12 running back in a PPR. So I know the numbers weren't outstanding from a reality standpoint with 3.3 yards per carry, but because he was catching the football, he had those 46 catches for nearly 400 yards, he was scoring 15-plus fantasy points per game at the time that he went down. And guess what? He had double-digit fantasy points in every single game he played. So you wonder
until
the last one, and you wonder what he could have been. And now, as much as we like to kind of have an idea, like you said, Tom, 25, 30 touches. We kind of laughed at it, but we love the commitment. Is he a guy, though, that you look at and go, maybe he needs other help, and they need to get help around him?
But the fascinating thing is, they really haven't had any help yet. I mean, is that going to be through the drafts? Is that going to be Stephen Ridley, who's still out there? I mean,
Ridley would be interesting for them.
I agree.
I'm shocked that they haven't talked to him yet.
I wonder if that's a risk that the Cardinals will take, given the injuries that they have at every major
position.
That's a one-year deal at this point, too.
Including to Ellington,
Ridley's,
though.
Nobody's knocking down Ridley's door at this point.
And well, you know, you look at here with Ellington, I think the numbers that scare you is you see that he had 15 carries in all but 3 games last year, and 2 of those came right at the end, and with a very heavy role in the passing game. I mean, this guy's getting 5, 7, 9, 6. He's getting around five targets a game. That's a very busy role for a guy who's not that big and probably not equipped to have that. So I love the commitment for us. It makes it pretty easy to go, there's the guy. He's the man. They want to go with him. But I don't know if Ellington is equipped for that. And it sounds like the Cardinals are kind of slowly backing off that. So that would be a team you'd have to think that maybe it's a Ridley or maybe it's a bigger back in the draft. And does that become one of the bigger priorities for the Cardinals in the draft? Is the running back position? I think it could be with the way they're kind of, you know, focused now. As we said, there's not a lot of quarterbacks to go after. So does running back become one of the top priorities for the Cardinals in the draft?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people have mocked Gordon here. I think a lot of people have mocked Todd Gurley here. Ultimately, I think multiple running backs go in the first round of this draft, because I tend to agree with our friend Greg Cosell that NFL teams, stubborn as they may be, are kind of realizing, you know what? There might only be 10 really good quarterbacks in the NFL. We need to try to win some other way. And lo and behold, there's a lot of great backs, and there's a lot of great backs coming out. So I think Andre Ellington is going to be supplemented here, if not usurped by a rookie running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we'll see what happens here in the draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get him into like a Gio Bernard-type role where, you know, he sees some early downs.
I like that a lot more. I agree.
But he's always working on the third downs, passing downs. I mean,
200 rushes in 12 games is not Andre Ellington. Yeah. That's not what he should be doing, and they need to find someone else.
150 in 16
games.
Right.
60
catches. Yeah. I mean, the catches are good. Yeah. I mean, we love the catches. I think if he is backed off as a runner, if they do find that bigger back, you know, I still think he could be a guy that catches 55, 60 passes. I think that's what you want him to be, as you said, kind of more in a Gio Bernard role. I think he's better than, like, what a Shane Vereen would be. Yeah. I think he could do more on the ground than that.
He's better between the tackle
right.
runner than Shane Vereen.
But there are certainly questions here, and I don't think we're getting excited about the guys that were behind him there, the Stephon Williams. I mean, you know, Stephon Taylor, Kerwin Williams. I don't think you're fired up. You know, Marion Grice was snagged off the Chargers practice squad.
Whoever they could.
They kind of had to.
As bad as the quarterback position was, their running back position was almost as bad.
Here's the thing that why I buy into the fact that there's going to be a lot of early round running backs this year. Number one, the talent in the draft suggests there will be. Number two, for every undrafted superstar, for every Arian Foster, there's a Stephon Taylor, there's a Marion Grice. There's these guys.
Those are the norm. Foster
exactly.
is not the norm.
Yeah, it's not like you can just go out and sign Arian Foster and boom, 1,500 yards. It doesn't happen that way. Now, does it happen more often at the running back position than other positions? Of course it does. But there's things still have to play out well on the team. And I think the Cardinals are a team that has struggled up front along the offensive line. I think they got better last year, but we still don't know what they have in Jonathan Cooper. This is a team that's dealt with injuries, and I think trying to get a real actual talent in that backfield is going to be a major priority for the Cardinals.
And we have seen them get better on the offensive line. That's why I'm quite interested to see what they do in the draft with this backfield.
They've
added Iupati, so, and if Cooper ever, you know, develops here. He was supposed to be a sure thing, and then he broke his leg in preseason his rookie year. He's entering his third year. You'd think that maybe
like
the light will start to
games?
Flip on. So, I mean, it's an interesting backfield just because this offensive line could be significantly improved.
More offense maybe in the draft at wide receiver. Could they be thinking that way? Because, you know, you have Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think it's a major priority.
John Brown.
They like John Brown, but what is John Brown as a long-term prospect? Michael Floyd drove us nuts last year, and maybe part of that was the quarterback position. Larry Fitzgerald re-signs because they just love Larry Fitzgerald. They want to bring him back, and I think there's certainly an important role for Larry Fitzgerald. For fantasy, though, I don't think we're too pumped about him, and I don't think that's really a surprise if you're listening in here. You know, what do you think of Larry Fitzgerald? I think he's pretty solid here, but I don't think you're getting excited about a guy who finished as the number 45 wide receiver last year.
Wide receiver at
this
point.
He has two or fewer catches in 8 games, and this was after a monster 2013 in which he played some time hurt. I don't know what the hell happened with Michael Floyd. Things just did not work out.
Is he just a big play guy at this point? Is he a Torrey Smith? Is that all he is?
Consider that.
I mean, he hasn't shown much.
I mean, the two or fewer catches for Floyd has got to drive you nuts. But when you add that with Fitzgerald taking not having a great year, John Brown was, you know, kind of flashed here and there as a group. And I know, like I said, 4 quarterbacks here. Carson Palmer playing 6 games. That has to play into it somewhat. But I think Floyd was our biggest disappointment last year because he did play so well in his second season.
He had a great first game, his opening game.
Yeah.
A guy like Michael Floyd, his talent should not be getting shut out.
I mean, if he's only going to make plays down the field, and, you know, Carson Palmer is having shoulder issues, and now he's come back with his plant leg, a second injury to his plant. Do we trust Carson Palmer to be, you know, his arm to be the same as it
you
was?
You would hope that if...
I mean, I have real questions if he's going to be able to push the ball downfield.
You would hope that Logan Thomas takes a step, because at least he's got the big arm.
Yep, now... 3 of Floyd's 6 touchdowns went for at least 30 yards last year, and that's all we kind of thought of him as at what points last year. Well, he'll make a play down the field.
Yards per catch.
Which is great. I mean, we love that.
You know, he's
he was a big disappointment, no doubt about
it. Michael Floyd, number 28 receiver off the board in NFL 10s. I tend to think that's pretty fair, if only because Floyd showed last year that his highs could be very high, and that'll get you points in an NFL 10. But as you said, Tom, he's going off the board as a number 3 receiver in a 12-team league, and man, we'll fully admit it, at points we thought there was a chance he was going to be a low-end number 1 last year, we pushed him as such. It just did not work out for him.
We thought he would be a better all-around receiver, and it just didn't happen.
You know, he did finish strong with the bad quarterback play, 21-387.
Yeah, he had a good last 4 or 5 weeks.
I know there was
people dropped him.
But, which, of course, but at least you see him come back to life somewhat.
A little bit of signs.
And this was after the quarterback injury, so that's at least something there, too. I get that. What do we think about John Brown? Probably more of a down the road prospect here, but, you know, as I remember talking about with these guys, talking about the receiving core, being excited about Floyd, still having Fitz there, I thought Brown would be a guy that would not really have significant fantasy value, but would probably drive us nuts with stealing touchdowns and stealing just enough targets here and there. And I think that's pretty much what he was last year. 46 catches on 93 targets. So that's a terrible catch rate. Didn't even have 50% there. 655, 14.2 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns in 16 games, just 8.8 fantasy points per game. And his numbers dropped significantly without Carson Palmer. Final 6 games, 19 for 297, didn't score. You know, at the rookie position, maybe in other years we would have been more excited about John Brown, but last year, the best rookie wide receiver class we've ever seen. Ran out of the slot 44% of the time and caught 17 of his passes from there. So that's kind of where he was working. Played 65% of the snaps, and that jumped to 72% in the second half of the year. But not polished enough. Is this guy more than kind of a slot guy that can get down the field? I don't really think he is. And I think the problem with that is if you don't know what's going on at quarterback and Fitzgerald's getting older and, you know, Floyd's been up and down, it's tough to really get excited about John Brown at this point in time.
It's the questions about the team that I think are concerning, because John Brown's rookie season, I think in comparison to what a guy like Michael Floyd did, totally plummeting, I think you got to be impressed with what Brown did. Coming out of a small school, 46 catches, 650. That's a great rookie season for a receiver who is running deep routes out of the slot, which I think is particularly interesting. A lot of his routes came out of the slot, and he's beating inferior corners that way, and that's a strong ability to have.
I mean, the big question with him now is, can he do it in the underneath? He's running out of the slot. Can he have a more diversified game here? And that's the big question with him. You know, we saw, you know, he's going to get the T.Y. Hilton comparisons because Arians drafted him. We saw T.Y. Hilton develop into that more of an all-around receiver after his rookie season. So we'll see if Brown can take a similar step here this offseason.
Finally, as we know, you don't get a lot out of your tight ends in the Bruce Arians offense. He wants them to block more all-around guys. You're not going to see those big basketball-type players do much. Troy Nicholas, their second-round pick, broken hand in training camp, then an ankle injury knocked him out from week 11 on. Actually needed surgery to correct that issue. Expected to be good to go for all offseason workouts, but you know, 7 games, 3 catches. John Carlson was their guy with 70% of the snaps. Rob Housler, gone. Never really turned out to be much for the Cardinals. I just, you know, this is kind of a wait-and-see position here for me for the Cardinals, just because it's never really happens for Arians. I guess who's their best is Heath Miller. And look at the kind of player Heath Miller is.
That's the best tight end Arians is.
And even during that time period when the Arians was Heath Miller wasn't very good for fantasy. So, I mean, history tells us that you're probably wasting your time if you're using a Bruce Arians tight end. So, I mean, Nicholas has some intriguing, you know, he's a big guy that can move, but he never got in the field last year. So he's really an unknown entity at this point.
Some kind of closing thoughts here, guys, just for fantasy as we look forward to this group of guys going into 2015. I think a lot of it's going to really kind of shake itself out after the draft and when we get more information on Palmer. I think the biggest thing we're looking at is what do they do at running back and what is Palmer's status? Is it going to be Drew Stanton?
This summer about Palmer's name.
It's tough to really kind of handicap this team right now going forward.
I'm not going to be very excited about anybody in this offense after seeing what happened at the end of last year. So you really got to find out what's going on with Palmer's knee.
They were kind of easy to figure out at times last year because it was just pretty much straightforward. But now there's a lot of questions. Do they add in the backfield? I think we all agree that that will happen to a significant addition. And you know, what happens with Palmer? So this is pretty much a wait and see kind of team for a couple of months.
Also, one guy we didn't really touch on, Larry Fitzgerald. We're after the hype really here with him. This is a guy getting drafted as a number four receiver in the early going.
And that's fair. I mean, after the season is it put together.
Absolutely, 45th, but with the bad quarterback play. Yep. Do you think there's a built-in cushion with him being drafted as a number four fantasy receiver where you're like, well, he's still Larry Fitzgerald?
See, that's the thing, though. Are people going to take him as, oh, it's Larry Fitzgerald, and then is he one of those name value guys
currently,
that you hang on to long? But that's the thing.
But the people who are drafting currently, like I said, in these MFL 10s, are upside. Not the type of people who are going to be looking and saying, oh, Larry Fitzgerald's
right.
Still there.
Yeah.
It's so right now, I think he's going in a very fair spot where I'd be willing to take him. Ultimately, I'm interested to see where he goes in August. I don't think anybody expected him back in Arizona. And that's why I floated right after the season thinking this is a guy who might wind up with like the Patriots or something just for a last year or two. Try to buy him low in your dynasty and see if he can get another great year. Back in Arizona, I think it's same old for the last couple years.
Yeah,
I don't really value him all that
highly. There's not much of a ceiling. I mean, he's already at a ceiling.
He's hitting that ceiling. He's coming back down from it, and the quarterback situation is not great. So it's kind of like I said, I think you make a good point that the people who are drafting now are more savvy people. And
they're looking
into it now.
Upside.
Larry Fitzgerald is going to be a guy that, you know, people see, like you said, he's a name value guy that may get overrated by more of your amateur casual players because they just know the name. But 11 years in the league, 32 in August, and the quarterback situation is very much up in the air. So,
I'm just curious,
like,
who are some of the names that are being drafted around him at receiver?
Okay, let me bring that up. He's going at 42 in MFL 10s.
Yeah,
42 is the number 42 receiver,
number
so 42 he was 45 in a PPR last year. Okay, about
so,
right.
Andre Johnson, 37. Kenny Stills, 38.
See, I'd rather have those two.
Easily.
Vincent Jackson, 39.
Definitely.
Have him.
Kevin White, 40.
I'd have him.
Brandon LaFell, 41.
Safer.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz, 43.
Nah, I'd rather have Fitz than Victor Cruz at this point.
Percy Harvin, 44. Now,
that
remember, this is an MFL 10 where, like, Harvin could get shut out 4 weeks.
And that's why I get the Cruz, and I'm not surprised that Cruz and Harvin are going that low.
One of his Harvin 10 for 110
right.
And two touchdown games. Kendall Wright, 45.
Yeah.
Here's a
that
name,
sounds about...
Here's a name who seems just
going
perpetually
the right
underrated, even by people who know what they're doing. Who would you rather have at this point, fantasy football? Larry Fitzgerald or Anquan Boldin?
Bolden's been getting
don't
it done for years and years and years.
I think
the same
at this
type
point,
of
I would take
fantasy Bolden. Player at this point.
Yeah, I would take Boldin.
Boldin's been better though.
Yeah, Boldin's been you know, a guy who's been getting it done, even though Kaepernick has not played all that well. Fitz has really been hurt by the bad quarterback play, you know, and obviously it's not, you know, Boldin's gotten better quarterback play, but. Yeah, interesting to kind of see where these two guys who started together in Arizona, where they are in their careers. I don't think we would have expected Boldin to be playing at a higher level
at
this
point.
Yeah, yeah, but he is. So I agree with you. Boldin's just kind of one of those names. When is he going to fall off?
And I don't even know if he's playing at a higher level. It's just all about the situation at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's been better for him, so... A lot of questions, though, for the Arizona Cardinals. Hopefully, it'll be answered by the draft and Palmer status. We hope will be somewhat
at least cleared up a little
cleared
bit
up before we get into August. I mean, I think they'd like to know their starting quarterback's going to be before training camp begins, and they may not know that. They may be planning for Drew Stanton as it stands right now. So, looking forward to that. But the MLB season, we don't have to look forward to that anymore. It is already underway, and you want to be a part of it at FanDuel.com. Don't miss your chance to jump in before the season really gets underway. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. The leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait all season long to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Pick a brand-new team any day you want and make every game exciting with FanDuel. And with the season underway, Tom, you know, maybe you ride the highs of a team that you didn't expect much of, or a player that maybe if you're playing in league season-long drafts that didn't go very high, and you go, hey, wait a minute, he's getting off to a hot start. Maybe I should jump on him right now.
Yeah, and sometimes the markets are slow to adjust, and you can really you know, ride the hot hand early in the season here. And you know, I'm in National League leagues, but you know, I saw Sonny Gray had a no-hitter late into the first game there.
That's right, for the A's.
Been nice to have him in a couple lineups last night.
Eric Caffrey from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's the important information. You go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200. That gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, wherever. Every day is a new season. That's FANDUL.COM, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. As we move forward here in the Franchise Focus podcast, well, I want to let you know we'll have all 32 teams covered by April 24th. We'll finish up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be on the clock 1 week later. You can check them all out at FantasyGuru.com. Tweet us your questions at franchise, the hashtag FranchiseFocus, and you can tweet us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMadCamp, at FG_Brawley, at FG_Dolan. And we want to get one of our questions in here. As we said, you can hashtag franchise focus and send them in to us. This is from Bryce_Lilly. Who will be the most valuable Cardinals running back this season? Well, guys, we were talking about Andre Ellington. That player may not even be on the team yet as it stands right now.
I was about to say, where I stand right now, I'm going to say I don't think he's on the team. I just think it's the better odds bet at this point. Now, it's entirely possible, Tom, that they draft maybe kind of a two-down thumper. And Andre Ellington, simply because he's playing on the third downs and catching passes, is the better PPR asset. But I'm taking into account the possibility that maybe Todd Gurley lands here. Maybe a guy who looks like a three-down back like a Jay Ajayi lands here. And that guy truly becomes the guy in this backfield. I think I would take the field over Andre Ellington as the more valuable Cardinal back at this point.
Okay, I'll take Andre Ellington in the PPR format.
In a PPR format, yeah.
Make sure it's PPR format. Just because I think he'll, you know, getting fewer touches might be better off for him. He might get some of that explosiveness that we saw as a rookie. He really disappeared last year. So, and he gets a whole offseason to, you know, heal up that foot. That foot should be a lot better. He just didn't have the same juice on that, you know, tendon injury that he had in his foot. So I'll take Ellington.
I still think it's Ellington, but I think it might be Ellington as a number two at best in a PPR. That could be their top back this year. I don't know if we're going to get a lot more than that, especially, you know, as you can see, they're already starting to back off Ellington a little bit. He's got to get bigger. We want a bigger back. I think they're pretty much telling you. They're telegraphing here. Here's what we need here in our backfield, but who will that player be? Will it be multiple players? I still think Ellington will be their most efficient back, and I think it's better for him to be in a situation like that. And plenty more coming for you here at FantasyGuru.com in the coming weeks. The pre-draft rookie report's up already. The post-free agency podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell's up there already. Plenty more, especially when the draft is over with. We'll be covering how things shake out from Chicago. So for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com.